I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us again on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, of course, I have the privilege and honor of being joined with my darling sister and excellent expert, Sister Razia Shamani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my lovely sister Zainab.
Sister Razia, you drew out the image of a bewildered woman who is stuck at a crossroads, does not know what to do with the double
standards,
value systems that have been presented to her. On one hand, Islam says a bunch of things a woman should be. And the other hand, the secular society that she could be living in is expecting another bunch of things from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know what to do. The solution, as you were saying this, I said in the previous show, I don't know if our listeners remember, that I don't understand what the confusion is. Why would you be confused? Just pick a side. Mm-hmm. Prioritize.
Exactly.
And that's when you gave the solution, which is just choose one value system.
Pick a side and prioritize are two different things.
How?
Pick a side, it means you choose one value system. So in the Islamic value system, your financial needs are taken care of by the men, either your father, your husband. The men are fundamentally are supposed to take care of your financial needs.
Mm-hmm.
In the secular system, you have to yourself take care of your financial need. You mm-hmm. are brought up in a way to be able to be independent enough to take care of your financial needs. In the Islamic system, you are supposed to have less stress. Your needs, your financial needs are taken care of. Why? Not that you would sleep longer and just, you know, chit-chat and, you know, have fun, so that it would give you more room
for
peace of mind.
To do what?
To take care of a family.
When?
Whenever it's time for you to get married.
You're borderline spinster. You still live at your father's house. You do not have a career. You wake up every morning without any life purpose. You sit around for
you're a depressed lady.
Exactly.
I would say you would have to go see a psychologist, number one. And two, you see in what kind of house this girl is brought up. And what kind of community she lives.
Any house.
And what were the priorities of herself and her parents.
What is her parents' job to do for a 28-year-old, 32-year-old daughter that they have, unmarried, at home, labeled as a spinster, old maid, as the word goes. She doesn't have a career because her daddy takes care of her financial needs.
Where is she living, this girl? I haven't seen such girls. Where in the world is she living?
She lives in Saudi Arabia. She lives in Pakistan.
I don't think a girl in Saudi Arabia would live to be 32 and single.
No, there are a lot.
No, honey. There they have they have polygamy. I don't know about the statistics. If you want to be clear and if you want to talk scientifically, I think we have to go refer to statistics.
No, I'm saying that the image that you're drawing
talking about
from
the West,
right now, the image that you're drawing from me right now, a girl who's financial needs are taken care of either by her husband or her father so that she could be at peace.
You have
this
the
image
ostrich
that
picture in your mind. You have the ostrich, exactly.
Elaborate.
So first, let me make the picture a little more clear and then we can talk about it. So your needs are supposed to be taken care of so that you would have this peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, this is the question of the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Of the century, more precisely to talk.
We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Thank you again for joining us. We've been talking about some really interesting stuff.
Sociologists, experts in the field of women and family studies are actually talking, they're discussing this. This is a big question that they have, that what is to become of a woman, of a Muslim woman? We're talking about women. So I am just a researcher in this field. I don't claim that I know the answers to all questions. I'm just saying things based on my studies and based on my personal experience, right? When I see the situation of girls, of us girls, young, prosperous, educated, having a good career girls, a lot of us, we seem to be enjoying a lot of good things from life these days. But then we're lacking so many other things, fundamental things that I think our religion has had it in its potential. But because we have driven away from that nuclear path, from that important path that we were supposed to follow, we're missing on those things. Yeah. For example, depression, being single for I don't know how long you have to be.
Okay.
These are pains.
Seriously?
These are pains,
depression,
yes.
I agree, but being single, I don't
see how. For you, it's not a pain, but go ask so many girls who are in their 30s, in their 40s.
Why are they still single, though?
Because they were following their careers, because they wanted to go after education. They became so qualified. They were overqualified. And no man would suit them.
Too bad.
You're going to be depressed.
Well, fine.
You're going to be single. You're going to have the dream of having a child until you die. These are pains.
You can solve that with the help of a psychiatrist. I don't understand why
a psychologist would give you husband and child.
No, that's they will help you with your depression, but I don't understand.
And then after you get healed,
why do I have to lower my standards so that a man could catch up with me?
You remember last session I said that we're giving too much importance to women and women empowerment, and we have left men behind? All these past decades of feminism, women power, whatever, blah, 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 you have given women endlessly, continuously given, pushing women forward to the brinks of success and to the thresholds of, you know,
technology. And progression.
Exactly. And men have been left behind.
How is that my problem?
Because the education system, I don't know what you call it, the worldview of people, the doctrines, the prevalent doctrines of the last couple of decades, unfortunately have led the human society, in specific societies, in many societies, in a way, in a direction that the men and women haven't been brought up in a balanced way. So they don't know what is expected of them. They're confused.
And what's the Islam solution to this?
I was drawing a clear line between the Islamic system and the secular system. I said that if you're looking at the solution to this problem is, as you said, first, in the beginning of our program, you said you either have to choose one of these values or prioritize.
I meant by this, I meant the same thing. If your priority is your hereafter, Sister Razia, and you find that the secular value system is hindering you, is obscuring your path towards this ultimate felicity and salvation of this world and the next, then you're going to pick a side and you choose the Islamic value system. Your priority is success in this world...
This is a very good abstract sentence in a book.
That's why I don't understand.
But then when you come to life, there are so many variables that would make you shift
and a woman who has been raised in an Islamic household. We're talking about semi-ideal here. She was raised in an Islamic household. Her father and her mother were good, pious, non-abusive, non-absent, really supportive Muslim parents.
Okay.
And she was raised to understand the values of her religion and the do's and the don'ts, the boundaries, the limitations, and the empowering teachings of it, right? Mm-hmm. She really has developed a sense of spiritual growth and really feels that her priority in life is God's satisfaction and my salvation in the hereafter.
So what is she going to do now with this God's salvation and whatever?
She lives her life in order to attain that objective, right?
How?
in any way she can.
And then whether she has to get married at a young age, she has some suitors?
She has some suitors. She finds someone suitable. She gets married at a young age and she has children. And maybe when her children have grown up, she goes back to college. She does something to keep herself productive and contributing to society. The opportunity doesn't present herself. Doesn't mean she has to sit at home and turn herself into pickle. She can still go do stuff until the opportunity presents itself.
I do agree with you.
Once it does, she compromises and she gravitates towards that which she has prioritized.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
So that's what I meant by I don't get the confusion.
There is no confusion here.
Okay, good.
Because when you were talking about prioritizing, first of all, you said that she's brought up in a family where she is totally...
She's got her values straight.
And she knows what the roles that she's going to lead in. And she gets married at a young age.
If the opportunity
presents
itself.
This is the part that we didn't agree in the beginning.
If the opportunity presents itself.
The opportunity, well, it's really defining how the opportunity is and how you define suitability of the suitor. Mm. This is the area that where we could have some challenges.
And it's like sort of personal too. We're just going to have to ask the girl herself.
But then you said she's going to get married, she's going to have children, and then she's going to wait until they grow up, and then she continues her education.
Do whatever it is that she wants to do.
I think this is the Islamic.
Yeah, okay.
This is what Islam wants for you.
Oh, I'm so happy we've come to
problem solved.
Then on the other hand, I've seen a lot of women who grew up with absent fathers, absent mothers, who lost their father at a young age, and that caretaker was no longer available to them to no fault of their own. Mm-hmm. They had to grow up working. They grew up watching their moms mm-hmm. working double shifts, triple shifts. They had to get good grades in college so that they could land a good career and support themselves. And naturally, they would be a tad bit traumatized along the way, not having that father figure to turn to during times of turmoil.
Did they get married?
Some of them did.
Are they happy?
They're happy. They have good... And you know, at the end of the day, everything is rizq. I do believe that. It's a provision. Allah wants to bless someone with a good husband or a good wife. Congratulations. Allah wants to test them with an awful wife or husband.
Rizq is something that is constantly showering everyone. But you're a bowl. You put it upside down. Mm. It doesn't receive any rizq.
Yeah, but then Allah, you know, He has a way of testing people.
He tests you with your shortcomings.
Oh, of course.
With your
Otherwise,
weaknesses.
There won't be any growth.
Exactly. This rizq was always there.
Mm. It doesn't necessarily...
You have to create the potential, the capacity in yourself to receive the rizq.
Everyone deserves a good spouse. Well, yes, but sometimes everyone gets tested. Live it out. You live, you learn. You know what I mean?
There were so many other reasons why.
Exactly. I'm saying that
God wanted to maybe test the other people. They wanted to test maybe that woman who married. Or there were so many other
factors
that he wanted to, like one specific rule or understanding or information for the society, you know, to know it. So these things happen so that because of history, because of the Islamic history, so
yes.
that a specific Islamic rule or a specific Islamic understanding or precept or concept would be understood.
In any case, this is a tricky topic, and I'm glad we came to an understanding of what are the solutions Islam presents for a woman who wishes to live in an Islamic way, right?
But then I think we still generalize so many things, and that's why we came to a conclusion. We didn't talk about the challenge.
We'll get into more details, yeah. inshallah, in future episodes of this show, so make sure to tune in. Thank you for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.